Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. I'm your host, Nathan Ross, Tax CPA. And as you know, we start off each show asking, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life? That's really the question. And, you know, we might save you some crumbs on your tax bill in any given year, but boy, when you look at the next 30 years, by getting your investments strategically aligned with better performing real estate investments, it's significant. And in fact, I was just looking at an article that was in the news this past week. Let me see if I could find this, where, you know, I know the market obviously is given everybody a true beating here over the last several weeks. And just to quantify it, let's see, this article was in the Washington Post, which I guess I should start off by saying you don't believe everything you read in the news, and certainly not the Washington Post. But in any event, I think this one might be correct. The amount of money, let's see, the number of 401k millionaires, according to Fidelity, who's cited in this article, fell 8% year over year. And it was largely here as of recent, March 3rd. This article was cut off, so it's probably even more. But it declined. It's a fairly impressive number. 442,000 401k millionaires as of the beginning of the first quarter, 2022, declined to 406,000, a drop of 8% as of March 31. So I'm willing to bet it's gone down even further. And, you know, it just kind of drills home why people are moving, or a lot of people at least, our clients certainly have moved to the real estate private partnership syndication options. And I've got article after article I've seen over the last 30 days or so that talk about the strength of the average multifamily property, the increase in rents that they're seeing, etc. And I'm not suggesting that that's an ever or it's an ongoing forever and ever trend, but that's what it is now. And I think it when it's right now, where you've got the market declines and you see real estate going the other way, boy, it really makes you question how much longer you're going to keep your money in your typical market investments. And I see it just here in the last 3 weeks, the inquiries I get after the show. I don't get these inquiries real time. I don't get many texts. And, of course, I quit taking calls a while ago because it doesn't matter. I don't get calls on this show or the Sunday Syndication Mash Show, which is perfectly okay. It gives me more time to meander, as a couple of my clients call it, and address topics that pop up along the way, like this one. And, you know, I'm going to suggest to you that there was another article that was kind of part and parcel of this. This was on CNBC, let's see, the 27th. So that was just a couple days ago. And it talked about, let's see, becoming a high net worth individual. Most Americans, a great majority of U.S. adults, 74%, don't think they'll ever become a high net worth individual. And that definition of high net worth individual, which I'm going to disagree a bit with here, and I'll tell you why, is having at least $1 million in investable or liquid assets. And I know what the emphasis is here. They're looking at who qualifies as an accredited investor, at least for the moment. And I know it's been probably about 90 days ago, 70 or 90 days, somewhere in there, that the SEC announced they're considering a proposal to change that definition to where it's going to be more than $1 million. I haven't seen any of the any proposals actually crystallize. They were supposed to have something out in April, but I don't believe it happened. That would be open for comment, as it were. But bottom line, $1 million is what so many people historically have thought constituted, being a high net worth individual. I'm going to tell you that given the incredible increase in healthcare cost as you go into retirement, and I've seen articles that peg as many as 50% of all American couples will spend it's somewhere between $800,000 and $1 million in retirement on long-term health care or chronic illness issues. And for those of you that haven't priced that care lately, maybe you haven't had a parent, as I have, that was affected by this. Here in the Houston area, it's somewhere between, I'm going to suggest, $7,500 to $10,000 a month, for at least for skilled nursing, which I think in large measure is what that article was looking at. In other words, it's not just moving to an assisted living facility. It's far beyond that phase. And, you know, and of course, in many cases, it is right towards the end of one's life that they have this issue. But let's just assume that at, you know, $7,500 a month, you know, you can do the math. That's almost $100,000 a year. So it doesn't take many years to get there. And there's two of you typically. And so what happens under the Medicare rules or the Medicaid rules is you're forced to spend down the couple's net worth to almost nothing to before you'll get assistance, and even then the facilities that you're going to be placed in are not going to be the ones that you would pick. There'll be a strange odor that greets you when you walk in the door. It's just very common. And so you want to have the resources without spending all your net worth, obviously, to provide that coverage. And so the way that we go about it is we utilize some insurance product that not only provides for cash value, you can take money out of it if it's structured correctly. You don't pay tax on it. In fact, it doesn't even get reported on a 1099-R like your Roth funds might or your self-directed IRA funds might, again, provided it's structured correctly. And in most cases, we're able to place riders on those policies at little, if any, additional cost to where you can have this coverage if and when you need it. If you don't need it, you haven't spent the, I'm going to suggest, long-term health care coverage just on its own policy is somewhere in the $15,000 to $20,000 a year category now. So it's very expensive. So there are other options. But again, talking about the $1 million mark, $1 million is not high net worth in terms of your being self-insured. You know, if you want to self-insure, I'm going to suggest you need at least $2 to $3 million and or a strategic policy that allows you to tap the death benefit in advance, like the ones that we use to provide your coverage. So anyway, we've come up to the first break. We'll be back here in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream, like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Syndication. I'm sorry, Tax Mash Show. I'm already thinking about tomorrow. Boy, it's going to be a good show tomorrow. Already wound up about it, but anyway, I'll try to stay under control here. Before I continue, I got all the way through that first segment without reminding you that just because you listen to today's show or a previous show, if you go out to KSCB Radio and look at the shows that have already occurred in large measure, I think we're missing a couple of them, but they're out there. And just because you listen to that information, you hear these strategies, I or anyone else with NP Ross do not become your tax advisor, your tax planner, your CPA, your tax preparer. Never ever try to implement the strategies that we talk about on the air yourself. At least consult with your existing advisors. Hopefully they understand these strategies, although you shouldn't blame them if they don't. These are some real niches or crevices within the tax code that we work with, and so I don't run across too many CPAs that work at the four-way stop that we do, which is real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, real estate private partnership syndications, and zero tax math. And everything we do is focused into one or all four of those knowledge bases. So, you know, we've been doing this a long time. I'm an old guy, 62 years old, and we didn't start off understanding these concepts. And I've been working specifically in those four areas for at least the last 20 years. And it's the planets have aligned. I mean, it's pretty amazing at this point, for instance, in what you can do in real estate private partnerships, where you can invest directly and you can use your retirement funds, etc., to do it. And I know some of you people are saying, no, I can't use my retirement funds. They're tied up in a plan for an employer that I still work for. So I haven't quit my employment, and I'm under the age of 59 and a half, so I can't access them. And I'm going to tell you, if you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, first, get down on your knees and thank the good Lord. And secondly, understand that you can access those funds regardless of the fact that HR will rarely understand that option. And it's interesting how flexible our community property rules are here in the state of Texas. And by the use of a postnuptial agreement is the colloquial layman's term, you can access those dollars. And your employer has no say-so in the matter generally. And just, you know, let me know that you're interested and then fill out our intake forms. If you want to work with us or have us even consider your facts and circumstances, I've got the perfect tool to do that. Go to the website, baplanner.com. BEAPLANNER.com, just like it sounds. And in fact, I think even if you misspell it, with the, you leave the A out, or maybe it's the EE, I can't remember. I've got a Ford that'll pick it up and still take you to the site. But in any event, fill those forms out. Give us enough information about your facts and circumstances, or we can tell you, hey, here's how we can sync up with what your needs are. Here's how we don't sync up. You know, we don't take new clients unless there's a really good cost justification on both sides. And as much as our prospects want to know what it's going to cost them, we want to know what we're signing up for in terms of the scope. So anyway, but again, first, start with your existing professionals. We're not your existing professionals unless obviously you're a client, and we get a lot of follow-ups after every week's show, and it, you know, what I know to be the case is that there's not many professionals that do what we do, and therefore that's why people come to us, which is fine. It's just I need to know more about you. So fill the forms out, then click the link next to that on scheduling a call. I'll do the call with you, or perhaps myself and Dan DuBose, my associate, who you've heard on the air before, and he will be joining us again someday. He keeps traveling on the weekends. He's up in East Texas, I believe, this week, so enjoying some family time. So good for Dan. I wanted to talk a little bit more about this 401, these two articles that I saw. One of them was talking about the decline in the number of 401k accounts that took a lot of people out of the millionaire status or high net worth individual status over the last, what would have been the first quarter. I'm sure the number's even bigger here on into April and May. But in any event, there's a number in this, in one of these two articles that says for individuals who have been participating in their 401k plan, this would be the office 401k plan, for the last 15 years. Now think about this. 15 years is a long time. And I'm going to suggest on average, if you put, I don't know, I can't remember from 15 years ago what the max was, but I know more recently it's, you know, right at $20,000, just over $20,000, I believe, if I recall, for the current year. So if you took 15 years times $15,000, just on average, that's $225,000. And so that means your money, well, I'm sorry, the average account balance over 15 years is $482,900. And I guess what I'm going to use this number for is to illustrate how the traditional 401k plan has really failed most Americans. And you may think of that as being, you know, wow, that's pretty incredible. I don't. I mean, I look at if you just the core principle that you put in to save a few crumbs of tax dollars. And when I say that, you've got to understand a one-time savings. It's like a drug for the drug addict. For you to take a 20 to 22, 24%, I'm thinking on average, maybe a little bit higher, call it 30, tax deduction. So you, maybe you're going to save $5,000. I don't think most people do. A lot of people probably do, but I don't know that I would say the majority get there. But let's just assume you were able to put in $225,000 over that 15 years. So that's $15,000 a year. And so let's further assume that you got a 30% tax savings. So that's a $67,500 savings, and your money has barely doubled in 15 years, if you think about it. And of course, some of those dollars went in last year. Some of them went in, you know, 15 years ago. So you just got to look at the averages. But what I'm suggesting to you is we invest in real estate private partnership syndications, typically multifamily. So we're buying apartment buildings. And by the way, I'm not selling investments. I get that question almost every week when someone inquires. I have nothing to do with selling real estate private partnership syndication investments. I am a CPA, not a registered investment advisor, where I even would tell you what to invest in. No, I analyze the math on multiple syndication offerings that are in play at any given time that our clients may be looking at. But when they invest, they're making the decision. I help them understand the math for each option that they're reviewing so that they know what they're signing up for, because most investors do not eat these documents. These I call it the deal doc stack. That would be your webinar slide deck, your private placement memorandum, the operating agreement. These are complicated legal documents. And even for people that have invested maybe in 20 or 30 transactions over their recent past, the next deal is going to be different. As I say to my clients, a syndication is not a syndication is not a syndication. It's amazing the changes that have transpired in this asset class over the last year and a half. And there are things that have crept into these transactions, fees that you can't imagine. If you've been looking at this space for 20 years like I have, it is unbelievable the cleverness of what we're going to suggest is a fox looking to raid your hen house has just made appear and will tell you, if you ask the question, it's like, well, gee, what are these fees for? You know, you're getting a 20 to 30, 35% promote, which is an override on cash flows and profits. What's with all the extra fees that are being charged now? Acquisition fees, due diligence fees, capital raise fees, debt placement fees, construction management fees, refinance fees, disposition fees. It's millions of dollars on a typical $25 to $50 million transaction, a lot of which comes out up front, day zero, as I've labeled it, which is closing. You know, $1.5 million, $2 million is already on its way, being wired to the syndicator or sponsor, lead partner. There's assorted terms that describe the same party, already being wired to their bank account. That's just any way you slice it, it's wrong. And that's on top, on a $25 million promote would be a $25 million. Project acquisition, that'd be kind of a small one these days. We've worked on some here recently looking at them for our clients that were $90 million, $100 million. And you know, when you think about like one transaction I looked at this week, it was I believe it was in Florida, if I'm not mistaken, Miami. It was somewhere in the $90 million range. There was $5 million coming out to the syndicator, the sponsor, at closing. That's just insane that they put these presentations on, look you in the eye, and tell you that's industry norm, industry standard. That is anything but industry standard. It's only industry standard if you get 120 or more people to agree that they're going to allow it. And I just I just don't understand how people look at these documents and say, oh, yeah, I want some of that one, right? I mean, that just makes no sense whatsoever. And this topic's something that I usually don't talk about on Saturdays, but I did it today, and we'll talk in more detail tomorrow. For those of you that are interested, listen to the show in the morning at 7 a.m. right here on AM 700, and you'll start to understand how we look at these transactions and how you should if you want to make the best decisions in terms of deploying what I'm going to assume is some limited capital. I don't work with anybody that has unlimited capital. And, of course, even folks that have, let's say folks that do qualify as high net worth individuals, they tend to be even more studious in terms of where they invest their money and how they commit their funds. In any event, it's time for our second break, so we'll take a few minutes and come back for more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to know.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about some of the recent stats, et cetera, regarding 401k plans of Americans. And it's interesting to me that people still put money into these plans, even given the fact that, you know, that they really haven't performed nearly as well as you would hope and nearly as well as you would have done if you had not contributed the money and invested directly in, as an example, real estate private partnership syndications. And, you know, everybody always says, well, you know, I'm getting a deduction, which, as I pointed out, is not that much money given what you might have done outside the 401. And then the other thing that I hear, even for some of our clients that have decided the self-directed 401 trust is the better option, and that's essentially what, you know, if you qualify, that's the tool we'll use once you take control of your money in the employer 401 account, take it out, roll it over, and we put it into the self-directed 401 trust where you decide who, where, when, and how much to invest or how much to pay yourself if you're ready to expose some of it to tax and or penalty if you're under the age of 59 and a half. But in any event, the other thing I hear is, well, you know, I've got this match that the employer gives me, and so that's the reason I want to continue making contributions in the employer plan. And all I'm going to suggest to you is look at the math on that. These real estate private partnership syndications that we target, we're looking at transactions typically that pro forma or project a doubling of your investment every 3 to 4 years. And so I'm going to ask you, when's the last time your money in your 401k at the office, according to this article that was in the Washington Post, you know, that hadn't happened much. If over 15 years, now again, you got to remember the funds weren't there on day one, but over time they built up. And I, without knowing exactly what those numbers are each year, I can't tell you how much of a bump it is, but I think it's safe to say it's not doubling every 3 to 4 years as some of my clients have been able to achieve. Not all of them. I mean, it does matter, obviously, which investments you pick and how they perform. And that's part of what we try to analyze on the front end. We look at the syndicator's history. Have they gotten to the finish line before? What kind of equity multiple were they able to achieve? In other words, you put $100,000 in, how much are you getting out? And, you know, that's expressed as a number, 2.3 or 3.5, depends on how long and how successful. But if I can put $100,000 into a transaction and in 5 years pull $250,000 out, that's a pretty healthy equity multiple. And I would challenge you to find me a 401k account, unless you're an owner in or have some inside into the securities involved, that consistently can accomplish those numbers. And even if you're not achieving a doubling effect every 3 to 4 years, even if it's over 6 years or 7 years, it's not the end of the world. It still beats the numbers that I'm seeing in these articles. So, you know, for those of you that have been sitting on the sideline watching, maybe you're one of the folks that's fallen out of the high net worth category, $1 million net worth, investable liquid net worth, you know, typically in the 401, that's where most American families' wealth is. You may be wondering, well, when's this going to stop? Well, it's not going to stop. It's the nature of the market. It's up and down, up and down. Thankfully, it's fairly frequent, although I would tell you it would be better as soon as you can get out of that up and down, that yo-yo, and get your money over into some real estate, specifically apartments, where you're able to see a more gradual up and down, so that, you know, you have the ability at times, if you want to shift money, you can. It's just with real estate, you know, you watch what's getting ready to happen. It seems like there's a little bit of a change coming on now. There's been more sellers list their properties in the last 30 days, which means they're worried about missing the party that's been happening with sellers. The multifamily game doesn't appear like there's any slowing down at the moment, but bottom line is, let's say there is a recession, which I think most people think we're just at the outset, most economists anyway. You watch, the syndicators that know how this game is played will make more money during the drop, because they keep their powder dry, they've got the ability to raise money and take advantage of transactions that have already occurred that won't withstand the recession. And let me explain what I mean by that. And again, I'm really stealing some of the thunder of the Sunday syndication mass show we do, but almost every transaction that has occurred in the last 9 months, maybe even a year, has used a form of debt referred to as bridge. Think of it as temporary. It's a loan type that gets you the acquisition, funds the rehab, and then it's typically a 3-year refinance requirement with maybe 2 1-year extensions. And, you know, I don't hear any syndicator of all the ones we've looked at in the last year talk about bridge debt as if it's anything other than the most wonderful, flexible kind of debt in the prospects that a multifamily operator would take out. And I'm just telling you, it is absolutely 180 degrees the other way. Unless you buy that logic, just be forewarned that each of those one-year extensions is a 1% extension fee. So think about a $50 million loan, which is very common in this space. That's $500,000 for each one of those extensions. That's money right out of your pocket as a investor to extend that debt when you can't get it refinanced. And when you look at the huge number of transactions that have used bridge debt, they're all going to be knocking on those lenders' doors here in a couple years. And unless they've got quite a story to tell, they're not going to get the longer-term agency, we call it debt, which is typically at least a 10-year term, you know, for that particular type of debt. And there's going to be a lot of folks that don't make it through that refinance, and they're going to have to recapitalize or sell, and they're going to do it typically at prices that are lower than norm. And savvy syndicators that have kept some capital available or can raise capital quickly, they're going to mop up. It happens every time. The 2008, 9, 10 debt malaise, boy, I tell you, there was a lot of syndicators that made a lot of money by just being prepared for that dip. And so I think we're going to see that again. And I'm going to challenge you to think about what it's going to look like this time around for you, for your investment dollars. And I'm going to suggest now would be a great time to consider real estate private partnerships, and then collaterally moving your money over to the Roth side of the 401 trust. And when you realize that you can, one, make higher than above average returns, and two, convert your pre-tax dollars to Roth at a fraction of the invested amount, because these are private companies, they're subject to private company valuation adjustments, and I'm going to suggest to you that there's discounts available at the low end. For most transactions, they would be in the 50% level. So if you put $500,000 into real estate private partnerships here near term, you literally could convert to Roth 401 money at a significant, call it a 50 to 70% discount, depending on the investment, depending on how much of that investment is land value versus the dwellings. You know, the more land value in this market might give it a little bit higher valuation. But bottom line is, you can't do this when your money's sitting at Schwab or it's sitting at Fidelity, unless the investment drops precipitously on a given day. Then that's when you would pull the trigger on a Roth conversion. Well, with apartments, when you buy a beat up old Class C apartment that you're going to make beautiful and get the rents increase because of the things that savvy syndicators understand will allow that, it will affect the net operating income, we call it NOI, and provide a higher value for you to either refinance. And by the way, that's the story I'm referring to when you go to the lender to try to refinance, is that you were able to affect your top line rental growth, as an example, or your bottom line net operating income, combination of raising rents, cutting costs. And if you're moving that number, you got a story to tell, and you will be able to get refinanced. And so, you know, some of those syndicators are better than others. The market happens to cooperate more in some spots other than, or maybe compared to other spots, you know, different markets, different submarkets, big metros, small metros, medium metros. They've all got a little bit different dynamic. And so when you're sitting here on the front end looking at your options, those are the kind of things that we try to help you understand the math on. And we look at enough of these transactions where we notice that a syndicator is paying a lot of money for that old Class C, or maybe it's a B, B plus, A minus. We know what the average cost typically is in a deal, and we can we could pick the deals that are done primarily for the fees. And that's what you've really got to be careful about. And just like the deal I mentioned in Miami, a $90 million deal, if I remember correctly, and the syndicator wasn't putting $1 into that transaction. That is something that, boy, if that doesn't raise a red flag for you, nothing will. And that's just not something we wouldn't look 10 more minutes at that transaction once we check that and figure out this is solely, in our estimation, in many cases, it's being done for the fees. The fees are egregious, obviously, and it's a great reason if you're a syndicator to do a transaction, regardless of how much you're spending per unit. And these things are something that, you know, most lay people won't pick up on, and then you put your money into these transactions, and over the next 5, 6, 7 years, you're not getting a whole lot out, and then you get to the end, and maybe this is a deal that will not have the story to tell. They'll have to sell it prematurely, and you'll be lucky to get your money back. And that unfortunately happens. It's not often, but it does happen. Typically, the scenario where you don't get as much as you hope for would be your worst case, but we're entering into a period where, unfortunately, if the recession is what it looks like, it's going to be a tough slog for some of the less efficient operators here over the next couple of years. We've run over again on the third period. Let's go ahead and take another break, and we'll come back with just a few points to wrap up this week's show. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. And going back to one of the two articles I keep referencing here throughout the show, the one that discussed $1 million in net worth, investable or liquid assets, this article also says that in most cases, let's see, that the retirement accounts were 55% of their overall wealth. That number surprises me because I know most of the clients we work with, most of them, not all of them, but typically the 401 or self-directed IRA is the family's net worth. And so that's, I don't know. I'd be curious what the average age was. Let me see. I don't think it references that. This must be a more, I'm going to use a kind word, a more mature group of folks in this survey. And in any event, I don't see that in our practice. I'm not saying it's not true, but that seems a bit odd to me. One of the commonalities in the same survey, 59% agreed that diversity trumped maxing out the available contributions to their retirement accounts. Fewer folks prioritize maxing out. I would tell you that when you get into the self-directed 401 trust option, maxing out is something that you will strive to do. When you realize, for us old guys and gals over the age of 50, that for 2022, the maximum contribution to a self-directed 401 trust is $67,500. That's a lot of money if you're behind on retirement savings, retirement wealth. And by the way, that can go in effectively. We can get every one of those dollars over into the Roth side of that 401 trust that we provide. And that's an incredible opportunity. I don't care what tax bracket you're in. For you to trade a few deduction dollars in 1 year for the long-term tax-free nature of the profits coming in off those investment dollars, again, the IRS life expectancy tables now have a male living to age 85 or 86. It's medicine improvements. It's technology. I don't even think all the new genome stuff that's coming, is considered there. But anyway, males 85, 86. Females are according to the IRS, actuaries are expected to live to 87, 88. There's two issues there. One is that you've got a long time to generate tax-free wealth. It's amazing how much those dollars will turn into if you can double them every 3 to 4 years, which is absolutely possible. It's not guaranteed. Understand, it comes with picking the right syndications to invest in. It comes with, finding syndicators that have been to the finish line, more than a few times, but it can happen. And so you look at it on the one hand as to how much more income you can generate year after year after year, paying no tax. And I don't mean just while it's in the 401, the pre-tax side of the 401 trust gets that. There's no unrelated debt financed income tax like your IRA has. If you invest in the same syndicated investments, your IRA will pay tax every time there's taxable income reported on that K-1. You people that are in self-directed IRAs with real estate private partnership investments that are fat and happy and have watched that account grow, but you haven't been filing the 990T forms, you've got a surprise coming once the IRS hires that extra 100,000 agents that they're talking about. They will target this area. And so I'm going to suggest to you, now's the time to get those investments rolled over to the 401. You could sidestep that tax. But more importantly, for those of us that are looking out over the next 20, 25, 30 years, the ability to create massive amounts of wealth using tax-free dollars. You're giving up, 30-35% if you're highly comped. That's nothing compared to the run-up in value over 30 years. We'll show you that on a 401 math illustration if you'll go to the website baplanner.com and fill out our intake forms. Happy to project that out, show you what that's worth, and then you'll have the longevity risk solved. And then, again, we roll over to Roth, you'll have the tax rate risk solved as well. Okay, we're at the end of the show again. As I always say, it is absolutely amazing how fast this hour goes. I always enjoy it, and I hope you do too. Join us again in the morning, 7 a.m., for the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.